Transportation Committee will come to order at 1:12 on the 30th of March. Chair will note the presence of Representatives Hudson, Representative Coring, Representative Cowdery, and Chairman Halfo. Today on the agenda, one item, House Bill 384, an act establishing the Legislative Road Development Task Force and providing for an effective date. Representative Roakberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Representative Norman Roakberg. Representative of District 11 in Anchorage. I want to thank the chairman and members of the committee for taking their time for their busy schedules to take up this legislation. This legislation comes out of my 50-year residence in the state and my frustration as we were getting down near the deadline for personal bill introduction, that the fact that we needed to start focusing on a few more things to get some economic development going, create some jobs, and open up the state for future development. I recall several decades ago that there was a program that was referred to as the Pioneer Road Program in the state of Alaska, which I think did a lot to open up certain areas of the state and allowed for establishment of communities, which are now growing, and opened up area for settlement and economic development. And I think the state should refocus itself on some of those types of things. And to my way of knowledge, with the possible exception of the new road between Portage and Whittier through the Whittier Tunnel, which is only a few miles long, and then perhaps one other project near Skagway, the state of Alaska has not built any new roads per se, other than lane miles, for over 25 years. I mean, I find that whole proposition ludicrous on the face of it. So, I mean, how do we expect to develop the state, take advantage of our natural resources, provide recreational activities, and provide jobs for the children of the future without some true economic development? All other things are lip service. To coin the words of Representative Bundy, we can't make a living making trinkets or something like that. At any rate, Mr. Chairman, I thought this would be one way that the legislature could establish a committee to focus on a number of roads that already have been discussed. There's been plans made on some of these things. Let's put some refocus, some attention on these, prioritize them and get behind them and see if we can get something done. I think there's a very minor fiscal note. It's about not to exceed about $11,000 to $12,000. The committee shouldn't cost a lot of money. It has representatives. We discussed this in the Economic Development Committee to make sure it had good coverage from a cross section of the people of the state. The only objection we heard from it was it didn't have any environmental members on it, at which point I about had apoplexy. I didn't think the people of the environmental community deserve a seat at the table, and when it comes to building roads, they're not stakeholders, in my opinion. They're only stakeholders if they want to stop roads, not build them, and that's the legislative intent here, is to build roads, not stop them. So I put my foot down. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions and submit this bill for the consideration of the committee.
Representative Cowdery.
Yeah, thank you. I've been here a while, too, and, when I first came to Alaska, they had what they quite a challenge called the Alcan Highway. Now that's paved. And I know on that trip the first time, I think I waited 3 days for a bridge that was washed out. And then when they sent out a crew of two to fix a bridge, and everybody on each side that was waiting to cross became the big crew, and we made it across. But my question, I guess, is, and I've always had this problem, that we shouldn't have to meet Fed standards. A dirt road, a gravel road to McGrath or something like that, with ferries across the rivers or something. I don't know if you had any comments about that.
Absolutely. It's a very good question, Representative Cowdery, through the chair. We are allowed, as my understanding of talking to the Department of Transportation, to construct roadways that don't meet the latest freeway type standards. We were able to build gravel type roads, even one lane roads if they're appropriate, I believe. And Mr. Bouchard's here from the department might be able to clarify that specifically. But I believe it's possible even to use federal dollars to build access roads into certain areas that wouldn't meet the latest best standard, if you will. In other words, that we can get additional funding to build some of these types of roads. Some of these roads are only for project roads. For example, for the Donnelly Creek project is a road a few miles long that goes from a mining deposit down to the Kuskokwim River, for where the presumption is that any ore that would be mined there would be barged down the river. But nevertheless, that we've seen what's happened in the Long Mountain project. If you don't know what that is, that's called the Red Dog. And we've been able to finance that road system there, and without that road system, Red Dog would not be feasible. But you're absolutely right, Representative Cadre, and I think that type of thing needs to be explored. Matter of fact, there is, I understand it, almost a road that exists between Ruby and McGrath, or down near McGrath.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a mountaintop road. The old timers knew better. They didn't build in the valleys where the marshy muskeg and tundra area type was. They would go up on the hilltops and the hills where the soil conditions were better, drainage were better, and there was less snow avalanche danger. So they drove along the hilltops. It's kind of an interesting way, but a smart way of developing a pioneer type road.
Follow up to it seems to me, maybe you recall and I recall too, that of a nice haul road that was built, and that was the start of the production, I mean a big player in our slope production. And if we at that same time, before that was happening, I happened to be working for the governor in the private sector, and when he got elected governor, he suggested I was a CAT skinner, you know, I was a heavy equipment. He suggested to get a couple of CATs and go to McGrath, you know. So I went there and came back that we'd have a road, and then communities would spot up along the way, and that's how you open up the country to the people. And of course, we never did that. I'd still like to do it too, so I'm going to support your bill.
Any other questions? Seeing that, Representative Kempler.
Yes, sorry for being late. The Representative Rookberg, why are you just focusing in on just the road? I guess that when I'm looking at some of the connections that you're trying to evaluate, you know, on page 2, where it says a road from Wasilla to Bethel, or a road from Wasilla to Tyonic. You know, some of the other ones, it just, why wouldn't we want to consider a ferry, increased ferry system, you know, from the South Central Alaska over to Bethel? And so that we can, you know, more carefully determine, you know, which one is more cost effective for the state of Alaska. I guess just sort of this focus on the road aspect of it seems to, I don't know if it's the type of approach that is, you know, a well-balanced type of an approach, looking at transportation as a whole, and also with the airports, you know, we have a great amount of money being put into improving rural airports, and a lot of the, so we're making, you know, a fairly significant investment in that type of infrastructure, and it may be, you know, more cost effective just to maintain that investment or to improve type of transportation on a marginal basis, rather than come forward with an entirely new mode of transportation. So I guess the question is, why just roads and why not a more comprehensive perspective?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Kentland. Yeah, I answered that in part in my opening introduction, but I don't mind reemphasizing what my intentions are here is that I did want a narrowly focused committee to focus on one thing. I think what you say about if you were to look at all the alternatives for a transportation intermodule study is interesting, but that's not the intention of this committee. This is a hip pocket back cheap group of people that are interested in one thing. That's putting back on priority list some road development in this state. And it doesn't include railroads because Representative James does that. As you just mentioned, the airports are very well funded. The point in fact is for 25 years, we haven't built any roads in the state. Somebody needs to start championing roads, and I think it should be the legislature and its policy. And that's why it is intentionally narrowly focused. It's not intended to be another study that gets put on the shelf and spends millions of dollars of federal money. We can do this with some support from the department on a shoestring, and I think actually come up with some road development for the first time in decades around here. And that means like doing something. It might even create a job.
But just to follow up on this, your comments, Representative Roford, about getting roads built. From my experience, there's a segment of our community that is very interested in roads, and that is the members of the environmental community, and they are present at and active in making comments on any type of road projects. So it seems that if you're really interested in identifying road initiatives that are doable, that are capable of getting through the process, getting through the system, you'd want to have a task force that is that mirrors the interests out there in the community that have a who are very concerned about roads, and by bringing those different people together and being able to develop a consensus as to which roads are appropriate, which ones are in the best interest of the state, then they become a doable type of project. The lack of a representative from the environmental community on your task force seems to me to be just a red flag going up, saying this calls out for to be blasted from certain segments of the community because of its biasness. Why not someone from the environment on your task force?
Mr. Chairman, I think I did mention that earlier before you got here, but I invite that criticism, because the environmental community does not want to build roads. This is a committee specifically for the purpose thereof. Why on earth would I want to invite anybody who wants to say no to something that I want to say yes? The fact that the environmental community claim that they are stakeholders, they're only stakeholders by the will that they can force themselves on other people. I want to set up a table of positive, a group of positive people, and not a bunch of naysayers, and make compromises to them at this stage. This commission is strictly for the purpose of prioritizing and identifying road projects, which would then go into the public process, at which time the environmental community will have more than adequate time to comment on each project. So why on earth do I want some jerk who is going to be officious and hold up a very efficient process by being a naysayer, nabob, nobody, that is not, and is who have a long, decade-long history of stopping development in this state. Now, why would I be so stupid to invite them to the table?
Representative,
I'll be happy to say that in public. I just did.
You have the same thoughts regarding the municipal governments. I noticed that the Municipal League and local governments are omitted from your list of participants.
Well, on that point, it's like everybody clamored to get on. It's kind of trying to find a space for everybody without getting too unwieldy and expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So we in the last committee, we did add some people. There is one public member, and you know, I'm sensitive to that. I mean, everybody, that doesn't mean, even the members of the environmental community, these will be public meetings, and you're certainly welcome to attend them. You know, so it's the seat at the table, and quite frankly, I feel a victim of the environmental community as a citizen of the state. I mean, that's why I feel so strongly and so passionately about that. Because
mm-hmm.
I've been victimized by the environmentalists here. So when the strict focus here is on accomplishing something with invitees, that's, thank
you. On that point, very quickly, when we had this bill in the previous committee of referral, economic development and tourism, that question did come up, Representative Kemplin, about having a member of the environmental community there. And the feeling was that whatever comes out of this committee at the end of the day, or this the road task force, is going to be subject to any number of environmental impact statements, which therefore the environmental community will have a chance to weigh in on. Representative Cowdery.
Yeah, I kind of echo that. And if somebody, if Representative Kiplin wants to start a task force with environmentalists for building roads, that's fine. Get it through the system, and that'll be it. But I think that the idea of putting a ferry into Bethel is a lot different than putting a road, say maybe some deposit that's 50 miles or 100 miles out of mineral deposit that's out of Bethel or up in the Brooks Range. I mean, we know, you know, today on the floor they talk about magnetometers and helicopter. I did a little bit of mining myself and of reestablishing areas that has the best potential. And I think that these roads will open up them areas. And like I said, that's how communities develop. You know, what's the town at where we put all the milepost signs on the highway? Fort Nelson. Mm-hmm. That town started off, what made that town, started off as one roadhouse there. And then Anaconda or somebody, they found a bunch of copper around there. And they come up and stake the whole area for copper. Well, it turned out, you know, the assessments that you have to do on mines was fairly expensive, and it was low cost and all that, so low grade. So they abandoned it, all their things that they had staked out. And a prospector came in and overstaked all their claims, and it's now the largest tungsten deposit in North America. And that's what is driving that community right now. The highway business is still there. The original roadhouse, the last time I went through there, that I seen when I first come up here, it is expanded, but it's still there. So this is what opens up and creates employment and gives opportunity for jobs and this and that. That's why I'm going to support this bill.
Representative Hudson.
Thank you. Are we going to be offering the amendment?
Oh, I do have, I offered the committee, I did have some communications from some folks up in Kinney Lake. And I see by the letter received by the committee, there's some, I think that Ms. McHenry also testified at the last hearing.
If you're going to offer it.
Yeah, but I would ask the committee to offer it.
I'd like to offer an amendment to your amendment.
Before we get to that, I do have two folks on teleconference, if we could take
sure.
public
okay.
testimony
okay.
and get that out of the way. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you, sir.
Any further questions? Thank you, Representative. We'll go online now to Chitna, Mr. Art Koninger. Are you there, sir?
Yes, this is Art Koninger in Chitna.
Okay. If you could state your name and affiliation for the record and go ahead with any testimony.
My name is Art Penninger. I have several affiliations. I'm a member of the Volunteer Fire Department and EMS. I'm the chairman of the Community Improvement Association. I'm a present member of the Prince William Sound Copper River Regional Transportation Plan Advisory Committee, and I was also on the Statewide Transportation Policy Advisory Committee. I have several concerns about this bill. I do not want to be a nabob of negativity, but I have experience here in Chipna with ill-advised public policy, and this bill, to my mind, undercuts our current regional and statewide planning process, our state transportation improvement plan is in place and is working quite well in my mind to establish priorities. It's a multimodal approach. This bill, as far as I can see, is roads for the sake of roads, and it's very narrow focus and is very unbalanced in its constituency. You've made clear your intent on only listening to certain points of view. I do not think this is, I'm sorry that you're, you know, did not wish to open the table up. There are a lot of points of view. It's not multimodal. As I said, it's roads for the sake of roads. The importance of roadless areas to subsistence economies is important to a lot of people. And I'm also concerned about promoting road construction, building more roads when we can't maintain the roads that we have. The Department of Transportation's budget maintenance and operations keeps getting cut, and I think it's short-sighted to build more roads at this point without addressing those issues. And I guess that's where I stand.
Thank you very much. Mr. Coninger, if you could answer some questions that I have. Do you currently serve on the Regional Transportation Commission?
Yes, it's an advisory committee. Yes, I do.
Okay.
We're working on a regional transportation plan. I don't see how this bill going to hijack our entire, you know, priority process. We've been working pretty hard to, you know, on these issues.
Okay. On that point, can you identify some of the projects that your commission is currently looking at?
Well, it's mostly focused on the marine transportation system, upgrading the ferry system and routes and high-speed ferries, looking at alternatives. Also address the Copper River Highway. There was some talk about railroad. I'm not sure how far that has gotten.
Okay, so it sounds to me like your commission is strictly looking at improving transportation methods on via sea and not any inland routes.
It's also addressing that, and it's also is addressing airports.
Can you tell me when the last time a major road project was completed here in the state of Alaska?
Well, you just mentioned the Whittier one.
With the exception of the Whittier Tunnel.
Well, I believe it's the Hall Road. You're talking about new roads?
New highways, yes, sir.
Right. And my point is that we're having a hard time dealing with ones we have.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Coney?
I have one suggestion. There is a Citizens Transportation Coalition. It's called the Alaska Citizens Transportation Coalition. It's broad-based. It is not just environmental. It includes the League of Women Voters and various borough and city government representation and Native village councils and corporations, and has worked with the Department of Transportation in several transportation conferences that included contractors and truckers and, you know, everybody. It's very broad-based. I would suggest a representative from the Alaska Citizens Transportation Coalition.
Thank you. And I hate to speak for the sponsor, but since this is the second time I've heard this bill, as the sponsor has mentioned before, the specific purpose of this piece of legislation would be to design, or would be to create, a road development task force. So their primary focus would be on looking at improving the connections within the state of Alaska via roads. Because as your commission, as you stated, your commission is looking at all aspects. Maybe the roads tend not to get the focus that they need. And so that is the intent of the legislation. It's certainly not another transportation task force. It is specifically a road development task force.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hudson.
Also to the gentleman on the line, the approach here is to try to provide for the next legislature and subsequent ones after that an identification of roads that could lead to economic development, which I think is somewhat different than most other transportation forums that we have in the state. We have through DOT, and I was a part of DOT for some period of time. I used to direct the Marine Highway System. We have adequate citizen input on transportation needs throughout the state of Alaska, and I don't see this as interrupting anything like that. In fact, all this is doing is trying to get a whole group of people throughout the state of Alaska who are perhaps can lend, because of their expertise or their association, the ability to take a look at different roads that might be constructed that would elevate completion, or at least opportunities to go into economic development. It might be a road that would provide access into a mine or a mining region, rich mining region. Yeah, and one of the reasons why I would probably offer an amendment to add one more to it, which would be the road from Juneau to Atlin, B.C. It's never been fully studied. We have the Tulsiquaw Chief Mine up the river road there. It could actually put that, you know, that mine into operation and create a lot of jobs here and throughout Canada as well. But that's the reason to the gentleman, is that we're not trying to, I don't see this bill as trying to upset any other advisory road or transportation advisory group in the state of Alaska, and we would, I'm sure, honor you know, working with you folks to pick up information that you have that would be associated with it. But anyway, economic development is the key words in this piece of legislation.
And Mr. Koninger, this is the chairman. To give you a perfect example of what Representative Hudson's referring to, road number 12 on the list of prospective transportation projects, the Donlin Creek Road. Now, that's not a road that very many people are going to advocate for. That road would go from the Donlin Creek mine to the river. It's 12 miles. But that 12-mile road could provide up to 400 full-time jobs in an area of this state that desperately needs it. So, you know, some of these roads, you know, are not, you know, wouldn't be considered your highways and byways. I mean, some of these roads are just basic connecting points between mines and transportation corridors, which mean rivers and in the sea. So just to bring that point, did you want to?
No.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. Next, we're going to go to Anchorage and Frank Dillon. Yes, go ahead, Frank.
Getting a lot of feedback as you try that story.
It's your pacer, Frank.
It's your pacer.
That feels good.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's a Juno problem.
This is where most of the problems originate, so I think that's...
Blame it on us.
Yeah. Can you hear us now, Frank?
Yeah. Would you mute Juno, please?
Mute Juno.
If that helps.
Okay.
Okay, try Frank.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this may not work if you get the feedback we are. Is that any better?
Yes.
That's not a general problem.
Okay, anybody else believe it?
Yes.
Hello?
Go ahead, Frank.
He can't hear you.
Yeah. Go ahead and unmute us. Frank, we can hear you. Go ahead with your testimony, please.
You can't hear me?
Yes, we can.
Can you say yes again?
Yes, I can.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Frank Dillon. I'm with the Alaska Trucking Association, and I'd like to start the testimony by saying that although I would have been proud to have had some sort of inspiration to Representative Roachberg on this bill, I did not. And in fact, the fact that the Alaska Trucking Association is listed as number one has led some people to believe that somehow or another we were an instigator of this bill. That's not true. It just happens that that seems to be alphabetically where we fell, or with any luck, that's where we were when Representative Roachberg was thinking about roads. He thought of us. We like that. This is, we feel, a very important and very good piece of legislation. It brings some focus to roads that was mentioned in both the sponsor's testimony and in some of the other folks' questioning. It is, the way we understand it, to look at development of roads much in the way that the track group looks at the development of trails. We don't have a Department of Highways in this state anymore. We have a Department of Transportation. And all of the meetings and coalitions and discussions, we do focus on the intermodal activity. We have developed new ferries and new ferry routes. We've developed a lot of new airports. We've developed hundreds of miles of new trails, pedestrian trails, primitive trails, bike trails, trail marking for wintertime. But as has been pointed out, we really haven't developed any new roads. The road to Whittier basically stretches the definition of a road, in my mind, when we talk about that as new road development. We're excited about this potential commission establishment. We look forward to being part of it. We think that it's apparent to anybody that looks at the economic development of this state that if you don't have a surface transportation infrastructure, either water, rail, or road, it's not going to happen. And when you look at the potential development that we have in natural resources and tourism, every single project that you can think of is going to require surface transportation. The airport industry and air freight industry in rural Alaska is extremely important, but it's also extremely heavily subsidized by the federal government, and that subsidy, if it disappears, is going to make a centralizing and a connecting between village areas even more important by surface transportation routes. It was pointed out to me in discussion on this particular commission And if you look at the wintertime routes used by motorized vehicles, this wouldn't be automobiles or necessarily trucks, there are a lot of areas in the state that logically probably could use a road and have a lot of utility out of it, but it only exists in the wintertime when it's either an ice road or a snow machine road. There are folks that regularly drive from the Barrow area to the connecting road system in the oil field and on into to the Fairbanks area in the wintertime. I understand also that, and I could be wrong, please correct me if I am, that the suggested list of 20 roads are simply roads that would be looked at that came to the sponsor's mind or were put on this list, and certainly it would not be limited to those roads or those considerations. I'd like to kind of close by saying that we appreciate this this idea. We think it's time to give some focus and attention to the development of roads. I don't believe, and it is our considered opinion, that this would not circumvent any of the processes that are in place. It would simply add a level of advocacy to the development of roads that I think most people in Alaska would welcome. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for the testimony and questions. Representative Kemplin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Dillon, you've mentioned that you know, you welcome this type of organization to serve as an advocacy role. I guess my question is, your organization often serves as an advocate for roads here in the state of Alaska, and why couldn't your organization and organizations of similar perspective take the lead in organizing a systematic study of the need for roads and do it out of your monies from you know, raising some support from the members of your organizations? Why come to the legislature and to the public asking the public to fund a study that deals specifically just with one perspective? It seems to me that it really would be more appropriate for your organization to step up to the plate and take responsibility for doing these type of studies without coming down to Juneau.
If I could, I'd answer that. So the money that you're going to use, in fact, all of the $400 million that DOT spends is money that my people and other motorists provide you. That is our contribution. And as far as what we do, we provide service to people who want to transport things, whether it's the food that you're going to have for dinner tonight, the bed you sleep in, or the building you're in. Somebody with a truck move that material to the location you're at so that you can enjoy those types of things. We're a service industry. We feel that we make a contribution now that is significant to the transportation system. We provide the money that trails are built with, that bike paths are paved with, that in fact sidewalks are built with. And we believe that all of those things are important, as well as airports, as well as a marine transportation system, which we have advocated the expansion and the service levels increased on in Southeast Alaska. I don't think it's very fair to say that we should establish a reason for the state to build roads. Road building, I think, in almost any and every citizen's mind is one of those basic functions, like fire protection and police, that is a legitimate and a required government service.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony, Frank.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anybody else online that we did not call out that wishes to give testimony on House Bill number 384? Is there anybody in the committee room that wishes to give testimony on House Bill 384? Mr. Bouchard. Representative
Campbell. I'm just going to ask the department to come up. Thanks.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Dennis Bouchard. I'm with the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Mr. Chairman, I first want to say up front that we fully support Representative Roepberg's efforts to improve transportation and to spur economic development. And should this bill pass, you know, we will participate in the process that this group undertakes. However, I do want to point out that the department does have some concerns with this legislation. I think that our preference would be for the task force to be looking at the transportation problems and taking a more holistic approach to studying these transportation corridors in determining what the appropriate transportation mode is for linking these corridors. The department has already studied some of these corridors in previous studies that have been done and has some active studies of several of these proposals that are related to the area plans that are ongoing. In these area plans and these studies, we're taking as scientific and holistic approach as possible. We're looking at transportation models that include such things as capital costs, operating and maintenance costs, safety, cost-benefit ratios, demands, economic development, etc. And we would hope that this task force would not focus solely on roads, but would maybe broaden to consider, you know, many of these things. The other concern is just maintenance costs. As we all know, roads are expensive to maintain, and you know, over the last several years, our budget has been cut. Just in the 3 years that I've been with the department, our budget's been cut over $10 million, our annual operating budget. Most of that was taken in the maintenance area. And we're just concerned about adding to the maintenance burden. Granted, this is not going to do anything more than study these and corridors and prioritize them and things, but we're just hoping that this task force will take that into consideration. The other thing is that we've held off on submitting a fiscal note to try and get a better handle on the cost of our participation. It's likely that our fiscal note will be zero, and we're assuming that at this time our participation will be minimal. It'll include such things as just sharing our existing studies and any ongoing studies that we have that are related to these corridors with the legislators and their staffs. Our concern in this area is related to another legislative task force that was passed last year, and that was the privatization task force. We submitted a zero fiscal note on that bill also, and although, you know, our participation may have been very worthwhile, it ended up costing us hundreds, literally, you know, several hundred hours of staff time and productivity in the department. And we just want to avoid getting into another situation like that without requesting the funding for that. So another point is that we would hope that this task force would, you know, study these transportation links and, you know, come up with some prioritization and justification that would be helpful to the department. But we certainly don't want this to usurp our active area planning processes. We don't want our planning processes that are currently out there for our area plans to be usurped by this. You know, we would have to work with this task force in some way to determine how these prioritizations fit, how we can make them fit into our STIP process and, you know, to make these things move forward, and we'd be happy to do that. A couple of questions and comments that came up during the testimony that I wanted to address too. Representative Roepberg was absolutely correct. Alaska has an exemption in federal transportation funding law, T21, that allows us to use federal money for any road in the state. And so we can use it on local roads or any roads, whereas most states In fact, all 49 other states, Alaska and Puerto Rico are the only two locations that have an exemption to allow us to use our federal funding on any road in the state. The other thing is that the point that Alaska isn't building any new roads. This administration is not opposed to new roads. In fact, we have included some new roads in our area plans already, and probably will do so again in the future. However, we have definitely placed an emphasis on bringing our existing roads up to appropriate standards. If it's national highway system, trying to bring them up to national ASHTO standards for width, grade, and alignment. If they're local roads, trying to get them out of the mud and put a gravel surface on them, or get them, if they have a gravel road that is the traffic demand warrants, trying to put a blacktop surface on it to minimize our maintenance costs. So that's where we've generally focused our efforts. In summary, we're obviously supportive of solving transportation problems, especially ones that can create economic development. And we occasionally share Representative Roepberg's frustration with the environmental community. As an example, we litigated the Whittier Tunnel all the way to the United States Supreme Court a couple of years ago. However, we do feel that transportation problems should be solved by studying all possible solutions and not, you know, looking solely at just one solution. So I'd be happy to answer any questions for the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Burchard, it's been my recollection that the department has indeed, during the past, done fairly extensive analysis of roads in the state. I remember seeing maps of the state that just have roads all over the place. And will this study add anything new to what's already been done, or is it just going to be is there a high probability that it's just going to be a repeat of efforts that have already been done by, you know, various individuals?
Through the chairman, Representative Kemplin, you know, there are some corridors that are mentioned in the bill specifically, and I'm sure the committee will consider others, or the task force will consider others that are not mentioned. But some of the corridors are ones that we have studied in the past. Some of them are not, and I don't want to speculate as to why that, you know, some we have or some we haven't. I would imagine that we've you know, tried to stick with those where a demand or a need arose and someone put funding in for us to study them. And so, you know, I would say it's probably about, you know, half and half in terms of the ones that are currently listed in the bill, and in terms of whether we have studies that are already on the shelf or are actively considering, and those that we have nothing going on at present. And some of these links, we maybe don't have a road that's currently being studied, but the community itself and its transportation needs are being taken into account in our area transportation studies.
Just following up, could you then identify, you know, which ones of those roads that have already been fairly exhaustively studied by the department that you know of?
I have a write-up that I asked a staff person to put together for me that just sort of lists some of the studies that we've done. I wouldn't consider it exhaustive or final, but I would be happy to put something in final to share with the committee. You know, I could take this and do a little further research and put something in final and submit it to the committee, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. That's what I wrote down, that if you could share those studies
sure.
with this new committee that's coming up, so there, that would be very, very helpful, and
yeah.
they wouldn't be reinventing the wheel on a lot of things.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Cowdery, we fully plan to participate in terms of listing of the studies, Mr. Chairman, that we've done to date and a listing of those areas that are being considered in the current area plans that we have going. And, you know, if this committee or if the task force or whoever needs to see the complete studies, I mean, we can provide those at that time if you request them.
Representative Hudson.
You know, it strikes me that in all the years that I've been involved with DOT and et cetera, this really can stimulate some deep thinking, because the utilities restructuring, which I happen to chair and Representative Roper belongs to, are realizing now that you cannot share electrical power between communities unless you've got a road, for the most part. And that's an element, I think, of economic development. That's a big element of economic development there. Whether you're going to try to put in a lodge for tourism, or whether you're going to try to open up a mine, you know, regardless of whatever else it is, they have to have both transportation and, in my other reference, electrical power. Affordable, reliable electrical power can't come into any of these villages that we're currently subsidizing at the rate of millions of dollars a year unless we are able to contemplate, in some cases, roads between, say, hydropower source and maybe a group of villages around it. So I think this could be very stimulating.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hudson, I don't disagree. I'm sure that's something that the committee or the task force will take a look at. We're certainly looking at those kinds of things in our area plans also. And, you know, we're approaching it very much from a cost-benefit standpoint, because we do have a very limited, finite amount of transportation dollars to invest every year. And we're trying to approach it from what solution to the transportation problem makes the most sense, including such things as electricity, bypass mail, other types of economic considerations. And so we are looking at all of those things in our planning processes.
Dennis, let me ask you, do you know when the last time or what the last major road project was in this state?
Mr. Chairman, my tenure with the department's only a few years, and the Whittier Tunnel is the first thing that comes to mind. Previously to that, I'm not aware of any new...
Parks Highway.
Yeah, it would probably be the Dalton or the Parks, I would imagine.
Actually, the Copper River. When Wally Hickel was governor, the trouble was it never went.
Never got
far.
Finished, never, yeah.
No, we got stopped with the environmental
That's
lawsuits.
That's true. But, Mr. Chairman, as we talked about earlier, I mean, we have focused on bringing our existing transportation corridors up to snuff, and we've spent a lot of money, particularly in urban areas, adding capacity by adding lanes and other things to try and handle the ever-increasing traffic demands.
Any other questions? Seeing that, thank you. Is there anybody else in the committee room that wishes to give testimony on House Bill 384? With that, I'm going to close the public hearing. We do have an amendment by the sponsor on the table. Representative Roachberg, would you join us at the table, sir?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Roachberg. This was requested by a gentleman in the Kenny Lake area. It provides apparently a roadway over the TAPS pipeline, as I understand it. But I would like to say, Mr. Chairman, that has been mentioned in the testimony today, that by adding a name on the list wouldn't preclude the task force from taking up any other roadway.
Or deleting any of these.
Sure. I mean, that's the idea, I think, to try to prioritize. And I would think that, just for the record, Mr. Chairman, the ultimate goal of this particular group would be to, say, identify a handful, 4, 5, 6 projects that might have some viability, and then get behind those and then start the public process, getting everybody involved that should be involved. I mean, that's the idea. And to do it in an expeditious manner, because, you know, I'm very frustrated. I mean, like I say, half of my life here, there hasn't been a road built in the state. And I remember when the road opened to Palmer, and I could only drive as far south as Potter and the Seward Highway. But Mr. Chairman, I would like to make one comment to this committee.
Certainly.
Which I think is important to put on the public record of this committee. I had the good fortune to know Mr. Chet Lampert. Mr. Lampert was a famous Alaskan and Anchorage pioneer. He homesteaded the land on Spinard in South Anchorage that comprised the Blueberry Lake area and the Sears Mall. And I have a story to relate from Mr. Lampert, which I think is indicative of what a person can do with a D9 cat. Mr. Chairman, if you may be aware of what's called the road Fireweed Lane in Anchorage, which goes basically from Gamble Street over to Spinard Road. And if you recall, a number of years ago, Mr. Chairman, it's not so, there's a little bend in the road by Alaska Cleaners. It kind of hitches north there. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Lampert and his good friend, I can't recall his name, were actually, he took the D9 cat out and strung some line out there and started up on Gamble and started heading westerly down Fireweed Lane and cutting it in. Huh. And just before they got to that Blueberry Lane where the cleaners is, they decided it was about lunchtime. So they took lunch and they had, let's say a couple of brewskis for lunch, being no zero tolerance policy at the time and being self-employed. So when they got back on, they got a little out of cattywampus, and the road kind of went boom, jogged a little bit north there. That's their lunch break. So if you ever drive down Fireweed Lane and there's a little bump in the road and it kind of goes at a little off angle, that's why. And that's, I want to make sure that was on the public record before I left this body. But the point is, this is the type of thinking, the old type of thinking that used to open land and develop countries. I know we need to be more cognizant of our environment, our waters, our fisheries, the totality of the land that we need to husband. And believe me, I feel strongly about that also. But on the other hand, I think we need to recapture a little bit of that pioneer Alaskan spirit and open up some of the country.
Representative Rookford, did you, given the discussion, whereas the commission's or the task force purview isn't going to be limited to simply these 20 road projects, did you want us to adopt this amendment?
Oh, I think so. I mean, that's fine. I just want to go on the record that it wouldn't be limited.
And Representative Hudson, did you want to also?
I would like to. So let's take up. My colleague, Representative Rookford, if I could add a 22, which would simply be a road from Juneau to Atlin, B.C.
I'd be delighted, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. First, we will take up the sponsor's amendment, and we'll mark that as amendment number one, and I need a motion for somebody to move amendment.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would make mine an amendment to his amendment.
Amendment. So we're all on one amendment. So we're adding a 21 and a 22.
Affirmative.
I make a motion to move.
Any objection? Seeing none, amendment number one is adopted. Is there any other amendments? Representative Kemplin?
Mr. Chairman, I guess I would suggest that the there'd be a new member for this task force, a representative from this Citizens Transportation Coalition that was mentioned in public testimony. It seems to be a composed of a wide variety of individuals, municipal officials and the like, that this coalition may be able to contribute to this task force. And so I would ask that language be inserted. I guess so this would be amendment number two.
that under...
Hold your thought, if you would, there, Representative Kemplin. Representative Roquebert, Representative Kemplin's idea is one with, and I know we had some discussion in the prior committee about the makeup of the task force, but it is one that has some merit. I see member number 9 is one public member jointly appointed by the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives who resides in a rural area outside the area that is directly connected to Anchorage by road. Might be helpful to have somebody who's connected, maybe serves on the task force, but is in a rural area outside that's not connected by road, to give us another impression, or at least maybe some ideas on how a road might help connect their community. And I mean, I'm just going to throw that out there.
Well, you're suggesting, I'm not sure, Mr. Chairman, what you're suggesting is delete the kind of rural member of the...
No. We would leave the rural member, but we would say we would adopt language that would include Representative Kemplin's suggestion, where we would have a member of the Citizens Transportation
Coalition
that lives in a rural area that is not connected to Anchorage by road.
Yeah,
it's connected.
But there's...
But did you want to do both? You wanted...
No. Just one. So we still retain the 11-member task force. That
I see what you mean.
We're just gonna be more specific as far as who the President of the Senate and the Speaker get to appoint.
Well, I don't know. President Kemplin advises that that's a representative group that's involved in that.
I believe so. I don't believe the department has had extensive dealings with this coalition. They can certainly speak to that.
Yeah, it'd be good to have somebody that works there to be kind of provide some informal liaison.
As far as what they're doing on a parallel committee, it sounds
like. Sure, I have no problem with that.
That's acceptable. Okay, so let's... We'll just say who resides in a rural area outside the area that is directly connected to Anchorage by road and serves on the Citizens
Transportation Coalition.
You wouldn't need the directly connected to Anchorage then, would you?
No.
Who resides
in a rural area outside.
Just so that retains the ruralness, because that was, I think that was something important that we had considered in the prior committee to make sure there was broad representation.
So who resides in a rural area and
is
an active member or whatever.
Is a member of the Citizens Transportation Coalition.
Mr. Chairman, I was thinking about offering another amendment to put Norman Vincent Peale in the third or something like that. Just so they were positive thinkers, but I restrained myself.
Or a Dale Carnegie graduate to interact with the environmentalists. Now that you've successfully courted their vote in this committee.
I know.
Who resides in a rural area and is a member of the Citizens Transportation. Mr. Pichard, is that the correct name of the group?
I believe so, Mr. Chairman.
Citizens Transportation Coalition? Okay. Okay. So, amendment number 2 would change line 6 to Speaker of the House of Representatives who resides in a rural area and is a member of the Citizens Transportation Coalition. Correct? Everybody? Mm-hmm. Is there any objection to that? Seeing none, amendment number 2 is adopted.
I hope that person exists.
Any other discussion on House Bill 384? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion to move the bill from committee.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, I'd like to move House Bill 384 as amended to the next committee of referral, hopefully ruled, for with individual recommendations and zero fiscal note.
It has a small fiscal note.
Or with the company fiscal note. That's right. I'd ask unanimous consent.
Representative Kemplin has an objection.
I object, Mr. Chairman.
Do you want to speak to your objection?
If I could,
sure.
Mr. Chairman, certainly I understand the purpose behind this task force, but it does cause me some concerns. These concerns were brought out in testimony here before the committee. It's when the legislature gets into taking an advocacy role for a narrow part of a narrow piece of public policy, it winds up producing, from my observation, conflict and a stalemate. And the result is that the resources that were spent on that effort did not produce any significant return. So the investment is not a wise investment, and there's an opportunity cost associated with any of those type of endeavors. The comments by the department that where they cited the example of the privatization task force, where even though they provided a zero fiscal note, hundreds of hours of staff work went into that effort. And the product is what? Here we are, close to the end of the second session. We're going to adjourn. Where are the results? And that's the problem that I guess that I have, is the lack of results from these type of initiatives. If you don't have a well-balanced approach to crafting public policy on a particular area, you wind up with a stalemate, and it becomes a waste of the public's dollar. And unfortunately, as I see this particular piece of legislation, I think we're headed down that road. It's going to wind up being a waste of the public's money, and I cannot support it.
On the task force comment, if the representative had spent more time, it's in his town where we had most of the meetings, I think that he would maybe perhaps have a different attitude. And you say nothing's been accomplished. I've talked to the governor. He's adopted, or he's going to adopt some of the things. And I think that, before this, maybe not this session, I think before this session is over, there will be some legislation that refers to that. So I don't think it was a waste of time. I mean, we've had a lot of comments from people that didn't attend, didn't participate. I think I probably attended 100 meetings. That. So I don't think it's fair to the people, the 300 or so volunteers from the public who did participate, to say that what they did wasn't worthwhile. They thought it was, and I do too.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hudson.
Mr. Chairman, just speaking again to the passage or not passage of the bill, it's been my observation in my years on the Hill here that the only tool in trade we have is good judgment. Because we are constantly dealing with brand new issues, and we are trying to respond in behalf of our constituency. And from my years, good judgment is a product of good information. And I see this as an information tool. And we don't all find the same conclusion with the same information, because we're different human beings. But I don't think that we are ever able to make good judgment calls until we start acquiring some good information. And I think trying to look at a specific tool of probabilities and possibilities for economic development and the other good things that come along with it, jobs and people's health and welfare and things of that nature, is a product of information. And right at the present time, we don't have this information that's being called for in this particular task force. So I really, I think with due regard to my good friend Allen, I think that this information is not going to be harmful to us.
And I would, Representative Corder.
Just in closing, I just wanted to say I think this is a good bill, and I'm looking forward to firing up some D9 cats and blasting some rocks.
Having a beer at lunch or two.
Or his driveway.
If I could jump in here to, you know, Representative Kemplin, I share your concern and even your frustration with, you know, special committees and, you know, just how effective are they. But I think that it's incumbent upon us to identify areas that may need a closer look. I mean, for instance, look at the merger committee that we created last year to look at the BP-ARCO merger. I mean, we didn't have to. We could have had the Standing Resources Committee or the Oil and Gas Committee handle that. But we created a special committee, and at the end of the day, their work really, what they did really didn't matter because BP and ARCO ended up not merging, and you had a whole new player. But we still established that because we thought that needed maybe some fresh eyes to take a look at that. This, however, is different. I think you have some substantial public input, and we all know from the local situation, the local discussion with regards to the road, sometimes politics does weigh into the findings of these commissions. And of course, no disrespect to the department, but one of the biggest concerns was that, you know, we're going in the direction of a road from Juneau, and then all of a sudden the fast ferries have popped up. And, you know, people didn't quite understand where the left turn happened. So, you know, I think this gives us some fresh eyes to take a look at a problem that will factor in not only economic benefits, but overall public quality of life. So, you know, I think aside from having this as another government subcommittee, I think this is a good idea.
Just to close, just a few last comments,
sure.
Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your patience. The I guess my real concern is, you know, this is really a more of a proper role for the civic sector rather than the public sector. It's in the civic sector where, you know, it's proper for advocacy to be performed. And for example, you know, Commonwealth North, they are willing to step forward and allocate the resources to do some fairly sophisticated analyses dealing with our state's fiscal dilemma. The civic sector, that's all in the civic sector. So it's there where, you know, the advocacy role should be. And these organizations that are listed, they should be the ones that, you know, join together in a in an advocacy type of coalition to analyze things and to promote and advocate for roads. And that should be done over in the civic sector, and then they can present their results to us here in the legislature for us to review and to act upon. For us to be spending the public's dollar when we're supposed to be representing all Alaskans to advance a particular, you know, narrow agenda seems to me to be, you know, reflective of special interest type of politics rather than public interest type of politics.
With that, I'll take the Representative Kemplin. Is your objection maintained?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. Then the chair will take the roll call vote. The question is, should House Bill Number 384, as amended, move from committee? Representative Coring?
Yes.
Representative Hudson?
Yes.
Chairman Halkrow votes yes. Representative Cowdery?
Yes.
Representative Kemplin?
No.
On a vote of 4-1, House Bill 384, as amended, moves from committee to the next committee of referral. Seeing no further business, we do not. Tuesday?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And general committee.
And we do not have a meeting next Tuesday. Representative Kemplin, you're still working on those two bills there. Did you want to bring those back for discussion in front of full committee?
I'll let you.
It's been wide open. I think this was the last piece of legislation we have in the hopper. So until that time,
okay,
we won't be meeting.
All right. Well, thank you.
Please adjourn.